Welcome to Swiss Educ. My name is Hans Fischer, and my guest is Lily Brett. Welcome, Mrs. Brett.
Thank you.
Ruth seems to be a very tragic figure. Nobody understands her, or she doesn't understand anybody. She wants to change the way women cope with each other, although she doesn't follow her own rules, and she disapproves of the happy relation her father has. She's even suspicious of people who do not complain. What kind of a character is she?
Well, I think she's a totally different character to the way you see her. I don't think she's unhappy at all. She has three children. She has a wonderful marriage. She runs her own business. She has a very loving relationship with her father. And to me, they're all the crucial things in life. I don't see her as tragic in any sense. In fact, I see her as very admirable. The fact that she has vulnerabilities and anxieties is, to me, absolutely normal, especially given Ruth's past. Two parents who survived Nazi death camps and who had everybody murdered, every single relative in the world murdered. I think that people who display no vulnerability at all usually have no sensitivity. So I don't see how anybody could see Ruth as tragic. In fact, I've just done a book tour all across Germany where people say they understand Ruth. I mean, she has a pretty good relationship with her three adult children, and she runs a business in which she's very creative. Ruth is the one who grows during the book. You know, she does realize that although she espouses all this sisterly solidarity and power for women, she's not exactly embracing to Zofia, the Polish woman who comes into her father's life. However, the irony is that Zofia is absolutely what all women should be. You know, independent, generous, loving, and hardworking. So I think you've got it all wrong.
Who is your favorite character if we look at Zofia and Ruth?
Oh, well, it's very hard to have a favorite character, really, but I love Zofia. I love Zofia, and I envy her large bust, and I envy her courage, and I feel a lot of identification with Ruth. You know, I think it's a mistake to assume that people who feel a degree of anxiety or a degree of vulnerability are tragic in some way. To me, the people who are tragic are, if you ask them how they are and they say, excellent, everything's always fine, then you know there's a whole level of life they're missing out on. You know, Ruth has what is truly precious in life, a great deal of love around her and a great sense of humour.
Edek, like Zofia, is full of life and vigour, and he is, as you often say, 87. Why did you make him so vigorous at such an age?
Well, because he is. He's totally vigorous. And also, this is a man who, because of his past, you know, years imprisoned in the Lodz ghetto, then transported to Auschwitz, treated like an animal, brutalized, you know, weighed just a few kilos after the war, like a skeleton. He's a man who, because of his past, has every reason never to be able to experience joy, and yet he experiences enormous joy, enormous joy. He embraces every day. He has a fabulous sense of humour. He never says a bad word about Germans. He has no bitterness at all. You know, in many ways, Edek is absolutely not my father, but in many ways he has my father's spirit. My father is 90, so he's older than Edek Rothwax. You know, I grew up, and I think it's important to understand this. It's very easy to look at survivors of the Holocaust or a survivor of Nazi death camps as a poor, pathetic old figure, you know, downtrodden. And in this book, you see somebody's daily life. You see all the joy, all the appetites. He's got such appetites. And you see a truly three-dimensional human being. And in my own life, I grew up in the middle of great, great grief. I mean, my mother had four brothers, three sisters, a mother, a father, uncles, aunties, nephews, cousins. Everybody was murdered. You know, she lost her family, her culture, her country, her youth, her education. She really almost had nothing left to lose. But she didn't lose the ability to love. And I grew up in the middle of great, great grief. The dead were more present to me than the living. I felt the dead all around me. And I really did grow up in the middle of great grief, but I also grew up in the middle of great love. My mother didn't lose the ability to love. She lost everything else, but not the ability to love. And she loved my father, and he loved her with a passion. And I grew up in the middle of that passion, and I understood that love was everything. And this book is a book about love. Love in different forms, the love between a father and a daughter, and an unexpected love.
You also have real-life persons appear in your book. Luciano Pavarotti is mentioned. How did these people react when they realized they were in your book, Corinne?
Well, I think that I'm using them very kindly.
Oh, you didn't have to contact them and ask for permission.
No, because like all good books of fiction, in the beginning there's a disclaimer that they bear no relationship to anybody living.
Okay. You mentioned lots of ideas readers could copy, like how to write new cards and you give the recipes for the balls. Why do you do this?
People said to me when the book was in manuscript that they felt very hungry when reading the book. So my agent said to me, it's a very good idea to put the recipes in the book. If people feel hungry, they can cook them. And many people have made them, and I have made hundreds of klopse because I had to in order to make sure that they would work. And the Philadelphia Inquirer in Philadelphia ran an article on the book, and they also said they wanted a recipe and would test it in their test kitchen. So I was very nervous. But everything's worked out well. And all through my book tour, people have told me the klopse are wonderful.
Is there any sexual allusion in the title, You Gotta Have Balls?
It's not a sexual allusion, you know. It alludes to courage. It means you've got to have courage. That's how I saw it. You've got to have courage. You've got to be able to seize the day, to live for the moment, to have guts. You know, you can't just sit back from life because it's very short, and when it's over, in my view. I'm not looking for another life.
Mrs. Brett, thank you very much.
My pleasure.